Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behind the badge.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Paul Lisnick Behind the Curtain, my opportunity to step away from the world of politics and law you watch me cover every day on television. And I always say, and we enter the world of theater here, but you know, this one, I think maybe politics doesn't go completely away for this discussion we're about to have in a big way. We're going to talk about the show Purpose, which is playing at the Steppenwolf Theater. And I got to tell you, this is one of, and I said it in my review, one of the best shows I've ever seen at the Steppenwolf, which is saying a lot because I love so much at the Steppenwolf. Lord knows I've been going for decades. And but this new play by Brandon Jacobs Jenkins is a wowzer. And so the night that I saw it, and Mayor Johnson was there, and Mayor Lightfoot was there, the whole world was there. The cast of the Beef was there. Did you know that, guys? Yeah, you had folks.
I love that movie. I mean that series. I love that series.
Well, they were cheering you on. So you had so many people there. It was just great. I got to say hi to some of you, but got to hug Gleb. Let's talk about this show. First of all, unbelievable, fantastic. And it's 3 hours long, and it went by like it was 20 minutes. And let me introduce the cast to you. John Michael Hill, who plays Nazareth, or Naz Jasper. This is about the Jasper family, who will joining us. And next up, I want to introduce you to Mom in the show, and that is Tamara Tooney, who plays Claudine Jasper, who many of you probably know from lots of famous TV shows like SVU and all that kind of stuff. You're such a familiar face. You have people in the audience going, I know that woman. So glad you are here. And Glenn Davis, who an old friend from the podcast, plays Solomon or Junior Jasper. He returns. We last talked during King James, which was also a phenomenal show. Glenn, congratulations on that and all the growth that one had. And Alana Arenas, who plays Morgan Jasper, who plays Junior's wife. What a role. And Ayana Bria Bakari, who plays Aziza, also a phenomenal role. The only one not with us is Harry Lennox. He couldn't be with us today because I think Blacklist killed him off. Isn't that what happened? No, I'm kidding. But anyway, we'll miss Harry. He's doing other things in Chicago and Broadway shows and all that kind of stuff going on. But I got to chat with him, and I know he's sorry to not be with us. Let's talk about this play by Brandon Jacobs Jenkins. I'm going to come to you, John, your character. You're the narrator of this play. So let me have you tell we have viewers and listeners, tell them a little bit about what this show is all about.
Like the title suggests, I think Purpose is at the center of this sort of family drama. It centers around a political, religious family. The patriarch is a civil rights icon, really. And he sort of designed a family around his two sons, wanting them to be leaders in their community. His eldest son, his namesake, goes into politics, and his younger son sort of leaves the church to pursue his own interests in photography. And he's sort of coming home for a homecoming of sorts, and hilarity ensues. So that's the sort of basic premise.
Well, hilarity and amazing drama pursues. I mean, this thing is just tugs you in every possible way. Glenn, I'm going to come to you for this next question, because look, in my review of this show, which I gave 5 stars out of 5, I mentioned the fact that I think this is the story. It's fiction, but this is the story of a very well-known Chicago political/religious family/civil rights known family. I didn't name the family because I thought, I don't want to name a family and have the playwright call and say, that's not it. Although another critic did come right out and say exactly who he thought this was about. But Glenn, you are, Chicago in here, whatever. Am I right? This thing is fiction, but there's some actual people in this that this show is reflecting.
Yeah, I would say the play is definitely fiction, and but inspired by events that have happened in the world that are sort of in the public consciousness, but it isn't about any one family. It's about sort of an amalgamation of families and civil rights leaders, some in Chicago, some outside of Chicago. I think it's because this play is set in Chicago, it's easy to to make it an apples to apples comparison, but I don't think that's what the playwright intended. So, but yeah, he wanted this to be a conversation about the sort of generational differences between the civil rights leaders of years past and what this new crop of folks are doing and looking towards doing in the sort of political and religious spectrums today.
Well, I'm glad, and that's why I'm glad I let you answer that, because you two didn't mention a family name, and I didn't in my review, and I think you're probably right. Well, there are certain characters in here that play very closely to folks that we would know, but others that don't. And tomorrow, let me come to you, because again, you're Claudine, you are mom, and I got to tell you, in this other family I'm thinking of, we don't really know the mom publicly as well, but your character, I got to ask you, the strength, the power. Was that strength in the script? We're going to talk about the director here, but or was a lot of that strength directed in you by the director, Felicia Rashad?
I think it's a combination of both, you know, and also, you know, I come from a family of very strong matriarchs. And so I can totally identify and replicate my mother, who I just picked up from the airport. She's coming to see the show. You know, my mother was actually a very politically active person when I grew up. You know, she was involved in community issues. She was, you know, constantly on the front line, you know, for better or worse, to stand up for what was right. So, you know, I really tapped into that more than anything else. There was no particular woman that I really could reference to say, this is, I think, so I would say it is definitely in the writing. It is definitely in how Felicia guided my building, Claudine. And it's definitely in drawing on my own personal experiences and the women who have impacted my life over the years.
Yeah. And by the way, even though I mentioned like another critic who said that, I got to tell you, even that other critic's comment was, this show is not to be missed. I don't know if you all read your reviews. Every single review has given this one full. Well, I'm just going to tell you, it's given it full stars and it's not to be missed. And there's no reason to avoid these, because there is nothing but stellar stuff coming out on this show from A to Z. And so you got a lot, you and the playwright and Felicia
Thank
have so much
you.
To be proud
and,
of.
And I would just like to add, because the gentlemen have kind of set up what the impetus for the show, kind of the foundation of, you know, who this family is, et cetera, et cetera. And I just want to add that, you know, this is about family. You know, it's not just about politics or civil rights. This is about family and the people in this family and how they engage and interact with each other. And the responses that I've been getting from people who have come to the show is that they recognize themselves or someone else that they know in the characters that are up on the stage. And so there is a definite route to access this play on a very personal level. So I just wanted to add that.
I appreciate it. In fact, and I agree that part of my review was to talk about, this is family. You know, this one might not be your family, but you will see your family in this, in certain characters or certain whatever. In fact, my comment to myself that I wrote about this is about fictional titans of Black history and culture, a city of Black political life. And it may be set in Chicago, but this could be set anywhere for what we see. And I think, Tamara, that's what you're saying. Alana, your character, I got to tell you, and I try not to give anything away. I let you guys sort of give things away. And the reason I do that, I always tell the story. When I interviewed the cast of Dear Evan Hansen, I said to them at the beginning, is there anything I shouldn't give away? And somebody would, well, don't tell them Connor dies. Like, Connor dies in the first 10 seconds of the show. So why that's a secret, I don't know. But so, Alana, I'll just, one thing. We see you at times with sunglasses on in this show. I wish you were wearing them now. That, just the look. I can't even see your eyes, and I'm on the floor with just what's going on behind those glasses. So in asking about your character, Morgan, and you play the wife of one of the sons of Solomon or Junior, and you're one of those characters somebody might relate, not the way you play it, but relate to a real person who's out there. What's going on behind those glasses?
You know, for everything that you see from Morgan in the show, I actually think that she would rather not be seen in this way. And so the glasses are an attempt to the best of her ability, hold hold behind the curtain, and to I think her mantra throughout the whole thing is, just don't bother me. Just leave me alone. I don't want to be as vulnerable as I am. And so I think that's what's going on behind those glasses.
And Ayanna, you are, I mean, some would argue that in some respects, maybe when Brandon wrote the show, I don't want to, I've got the phrase comic relief in my mind, you know, just because of just some of the things that you do. And I mean that in the best of ways. I mean, but just, you play a very different role in this from everybody else in this family, because your character is not a part of this family. Although it takes a while till the audience finds out exactly what's going on. I won't give that away, but talk to me a little bit about Aziza, and you're just a blast to watch.
Thank you so much. Yes, Aziza is coming to the door for one thing only, to drop this man's phone off. And is
that's right. I kind of forgot. That's why she came.
She literally just rang the doorbell to drop this man's phone off and is enraptured into this family and engulfed into a night, a weekend of hilarity and drama. She woke up one Saturday morning, you know, feeling accomplished, thinking she's going to go back to the city to do one thing, and spends the weekend helping and witnessing an unraveling of a family that she has admired and loved her whole life. And it's, I think, an exciting and heartbreaking experience for my character, because she comes in this, it's like walking into Narnia, almost like seeing behind the curtain, you know, a family that she
has. Thanks for the title of the show there.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just kicking it back to Alana there, you know, but like just, you know, coming in and seeing who these people are in real time, because she's always admired Solomon Jasper. Her family literally is a family that grew up in his, you know, presence, in his light, in his shadow, and has followed his career, has followed his speeches, has followed his purpose through being a Black family in America. And to see him at this age, more settled or unsettled in life, rather, with family that is with his family that isn't as connected as one would think, you know, someone of that stature's family would be. It's a really stressful and heartbreaking experience. And I think she just wants to come in and be so grateful and so happy and show her appreciation and show joy and, you know, bring some laughs, because it's like, what do you give somebody who has given you so much? Oh, I'll make them laugh. I'll show them how, you know, how much I know, how smart I am and how grateful I am for them, to only find out that like your being there is probably one of the tipping points for the family that I had no idea that I would be.
And what I love that happens tied to your role, you come in and, as you say, again, not giving it any away, but you come in and you don't really know who this family was. You didn't realize until you get there who your friend Naz, what family he was a part of. But then it's amazing. And Tamara takes us back to your point. By the end of the show, that bubble has maybe burst a little bit, and we realize that this family, whatever you thought of them ahead of time, are like any other family in America that's got to deal with stuff, no matter who you think they are and who you think they were. John, let me come to you. I want to talk about kind of this steps out of the play a little bit, because we got to talk about the director. How do we not talk about, I mean, Felicia Rashad, this whole city got so excited when we saw that she was being brought in to direct this. I mean, I think everybody knows, but this is, you know, this is a legendary figure. Yes, she was Claire Huxtable and, you know, in the Cosby Show and all of that, but what a set of credentials. How was it for you? You're the narrator really of this show, John. Talk to me about Felicia as a director. Were you all in awe? You guys are stars, so maybe you're not in awe of anybody. But to me, just having Felicia and, you know, and Tamara and Harry Lennon, I mean, I don't know. I would just be like, I couldn't talk.
She is America's mother. I think we were all kind of in awe. I mean, Tamara's known her for years, but she does have an aura. And she set a very warm, collaborative tone in the room. She's also an incredibly astute observer. So the way she'll navigate scenes a lot of times is she'll ask questions. So it really is a collaboration. And then she can also really see your instincts and where you follow them and where you're not following them. So when you're rehearsing a scene, you go back over it and she can come up to you and be like, did you feel that you wanted to go somewhere to explore that? See what happens. See what happens is like the the phrase that came up a lot in the room. So she's also got like this understanding of human behavior. She was always reaching for the reality of what the people individually would really do in those circumstances and trying to explore that. But she can also take the bird's eye view, and she will let you know straight up when she needs you to try to do something for the stage picture as well. And I love that, that she's forthcoming about things like that. It's really transparent.
So you know her. Let me just take a step back. You know, look, I think you know all the press ahead of time. Let me be blunt. Everybody wanted to talk to Felicia, right? I mean, it's kind of like press is back, another Felicia interview, whatever. She seems so incredibly humble. And I almost had a sense from her that if you were to say, how do you feel about this? She'd say, I really wish they would just do their thing, but I got work to do. And I did get a chance to chat with her on opening night. But I will tell you that I intentionally said, I love Felicia. I don't need her as part of this interview. This is your day now. This is the cat. Felicia's work is done here. And now we got to talk about what you all are bringing to it. But Tamara, how right or wrong am I about how I'm reading her?
Felicia is, you know, I mean, she's very, what can I say? She's a very spiritual person. She's a very humble person. She lives in a place of humility. I can't tell you how many times she thanked us for allowing her to guide us and to direct us. She's incredibly gracious. But you know, her light shines brightly enough without her having to force it upon anyone. And so she is very content to, you know, allow others to rise and come forward. You know what I mean? She really is nurturing in that way and just a beautiful spirit. And as John mentioned, Felicia and I have been friends for decades now. And we have the same mentor, Billy Allen Henderson, who she took us under our wing, and she's legendary. Everybody can Google her. So that's kind of who she is. She's a nurturer, you know?
And Glenn, just talk to me about actor as director. I mean, there are some who make that leap, some that don't. You understand that leap. Would you describe Felicia as, is she an actor's director?
Yeah, I think she would. I think we would probably all here describe her as that. You have some directors who focus on different elements of a production. Could be as John mentioned earlier, the stage picture. Or it can be the actors themselves or other elements of the production. But I think because she's such, and she's not just an actor, she is one of the great actresses of the American theater and also in film and television. So she's supremely astute, deeply learned, has worked with everyone from, you know, August Wilson to Tamara Tooney now and John Hill and Alana. But I think that she's incredible, and she knew exactly what every actor needed to hear when they needed to hear it. We talk about how she comes up to you and whispers something into your ear so that you can take that and put that into the scene. She's incredible. I would definitely call her an actor's director.
By the way, Glenn, one follow-up.
Which is a very high compliment.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You mentioned August Wilson. There's something about this play. It has remnants of August Wilson for me in its flavor. Do y'all see that?
Yeah, I would say Brandon's work in general is, I think this is his first work, unless I'm mistaken, one other. I think this is his first, which is a completely black cast. But I think that he is in a long tradition of dramatists who are sort of genius with in terms of their wordplay, in terms of their giving huge chunks of dialogue to actors. To you give something like again, like you don't want to give anything away, but John has a lot to say in this play, right? And then as you go on, each character at some point has a lot to say about their sort of their inner self or how they see the world. And I think that element there is something that is specific to and August Wilson as well as other writers. But to make that one-to-one comparison, I think is
yeah. Well, I'll add in one other flavor, and Alana, I'll come to you with this. I was going to toss in Tracy Letts because there's a lot of comparisons going on between this show and August Osage County, and that gets you Tracy. And I think that's fair too. I mean, you could argue it at the level of dysfunctional family, but there's just the dialogue, the whatever. It's brilliant.
Yeah, and I, you know, what I recall of August Osage is. Just really, well, I do remember it being 3 hours, and I remember not feeling like it was 3 hours. And I remember the lights coming up at intermission, and I was sitting next to my friend, Erica, and we just looked at each other, and I was like, I didn't even, you know. And I hope that that's, you know, the experience that people are having. But I will say that through all of the emotional sort of kind of roller coaster you experienced in watching August, what came through was family dynamic. And honestly, that is what leaps towards me in my experience of purpose. Just the desperation of living between a love that you cannot do anything with. It's just there. And then at the same time, it could be a love that you can't do anything with for someone that you probably don't even get along with. Like, I'm, you know, you might not even like them, but you love them. And you have this desperate need to protect them and sometimes be their number one enemy. It's just this weird dichotomy that exists in the dynamic of family. And that was very, very forward for me with August and very forward for me in purpose as well.
Yeah. And I can assure you that at intermission, or interval, as I like to call it, using the British term. Yes. Everybody looking at each other going, holy crap. It's just unbelievable. As Glenn knows, I always sit front row center. So, and I'm coming back, by the way. I'm going to see this. I go press night, but then I also am a subscriber. I'm a donor, as Glenn knows. And, I usually give those tickets to somebody who just to let them experience theater. I'm going back. No, I'm going. I'm bringing my partner. I'm bringing my sister-in-law. And I just, you got to see this. This is just unbelievable. So your last Thursday night, I'll be front row center again. Do you mind, Ayana, if I just get up and sit at the dinner table with y'all? Can I do that during the show?
Yes. Come back. Come sit with us. You can have my seat, okay? Because I do not want no more potatoes thrown at my head. It's like, no, I'm playing. I'll have mashed potatoes on my forehead every night. But I'm just saying, like, come back again, please. I would encourage everyone to come back and see it again because we have grown and we will have grown so much since the first time you've seen it. And so many new discoveries will be made and it'll be so thick and rich and even more juicy, you know? So I'm just like, oh, wait, come again, come for us.
Yeah.
Another,
well,
another
like
plate.
I said, it more typically I'm more likely to go maybe back to a musical or something like that. A second time or like Tommy, I had to keep going over at the Goodman, but yeah, this is just, I got to see this again. And Ayana, let me stay with you. In terms of your character, see, I don't think this play happens without you. I mean, your character is so outside of that family and all of that, but with who you are in this show and what you bring and your lines, you know, so much of the disclosures come tied to you and who you are. And Tamara, the way you play off her, man, it's just fantastic. I'm a lawyer as well. I don't practice, but just, you know, your character who is also a lawyer, I just so find it so enriching. You're like every lawyer I had to throw out of practice. But anyway, but Ayana, talk to me about, but you know, in terms of your role, and maybe a bit how Felicia may have directed you in this to be the critical piece you are in this puzzle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's crazy because I have this line in the play where it's like, you were young, just a kid marching with giants, marching with legends. And when I came into this process, I knew that's what I would be doing. And I mean, I grew up with Harry Lennox and Miss Tamar on my television. I was at DePaul University when I saw Alana Arenas on the Steppenwolf stage for the first time. And then I saw John in True West, and like Glenn, also a DePaul alum. So I am just in the mix and amongst legends right now, and I feel so grateful. And also for this character, it really is. It is scary to be the button that like the little red alarm, like don't touch button that I don't
Right.
even know that I am. Naz tells me, don't mention anything. Okay. But then I'm at the dining room table, and your father, who is this giant, is like,
We
I'm not
don't
gonna
give
say, I'm not gonna
anything
say, I'm not gonna say, but he's like, he's just asking for the truth, asking for the truth. And what do I do?
You got to tell the truth.
You gotta tell the truth when this man is telling you, I want the truth. You don't lie. I wouldn't lie to Martin Luther King Jr. I wouldn't lie to, Barack Obama. I wouldn't lie to Solomon Jasper. So I'm gonna tell the truth, not knowing everything that's gonna come afterwards, thinking I'm truly just trying to help diffuse a situation and just bring light and just grateful and gratefulness to this table, to contribute in a way that's healthy. And little did I know that I would be one of the, I would be the last nail that cracks the thing open and all that stuff, and experiencing grief along with this family, and
Yeah,
losing love as well.
you gave this true thing. You had to mention Obama. You gave me guilt because I will here admit that when I interviewed him before he went off to Washington, and I snuck one of the books I've written on his shelf so that I could say that one of my books was in the White House library somewhere. And then I also went to a Hanukkah party and I stole some forks. So I'm putting that right out there now. I'm
That's
coming
something
clean. Yeah. Oh,
Aziza
is that right? I love She would. So, John, let me come to you. You know, another show that Brandon's written is called Appropriate, Blockbusters on Broadway. And it's, I guess if you were to say what's it about, you'd say kind of about what's appropriate. He calls this show Purpose. And so I have to think he's got a theme going here, which is it's about purpose. Can I just get each of you to tap into for you? And it might be a personal thing, it might be your characters, but what does purpose mean to you, John, for this show? Because I think some people walk out and they love the show, but they're like trying to make sense of the title.
What I love about it is he's tackling the big questions in the human experience. What does purpose mean for you? Everybody wants to wake up and feel like they're here for a reason, or feel like what they're doing matters and makes a difference to the people around them. And we sort of, for me, it's storytelling. That's sort of what my gifts are, and I want to use that to the best of my ability to inspire people to have conversation
Yeah.
and experience art. And so every person in this play has something that they're wrestling with, fighting for their to define their purpose and make their way through the world.
And tomorrow, purpose for you as mom in this?
I would say that Claudine's purpose is family, and period, full stop. And she will guard and protect family, at what any cost. At whatever cost. So her purpose is family.
Fair enough.
She is an attorney. She set that aside in order to have a family and build a family and be there for her family and protect her family. So I would say that's hers.
Alana, what purpose for you or your character or both?
I would just like to echo John's sentiment, and that I think that even when you come back and see the show again, I think you can go character by character, and you'll see that at some point the character is assessing their relationship to how they're measuring up of the idea around purpose,
Yeah.
that they had charted out for themselves. It feels like everyone is reckoning with how are they doing, or realizing that they thought they were chasing a certain purpose and maybe it didn't pan out the way that they thought, or they need to reassess it.
And Glenn, for your character, if it is who I think it is in real life, I know him fairly well. What's your view of purpose?
I think he's on a journey to make good on the promise of his name. And he hit a major pitfall in his road, and now he's trying to justify some of the things that have led him to where he's at, and in some ways it's a journey for him of trying to do the right thing after having done something
and that, turn it around, probably true in life. Ayana, for you or Aziza?
Yes, I would like to say, for me, my purpose is through my art to bring awareness and attention to bringing our people back to our traditional greatness. I hope that the work that I do in life and the stories that I tell and the Black people and African people who come to see the work that I do feel great and feel like we belong and feel empowered and as powerful as we once stood and as we are trying to reach for. And I think in this play, Aziza's purpose is life mattering and doing something impactful and leaving a mark on life and creating a life that, you know, will then leave, you know, a mark
on make your mark. And I just want to remind everybody, you can get tickets at steppenwolf.org. The play has been extended. It's going to play through May 12th. This is a show you do not want to miss. One of the best ever. I look forward to seeing you all again on that final Thursday when I will be there front row of the audience. I'll bring my own mashed potatoes and join the dinner table. Thank you all, everybody. You're absolutely fantastic in this show. I can't wait to see it again. I hope everybody sees it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Paul.